I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, Kaylee Hartung is a correspondent for ABC News who was covering the initial outbreak in the United States of the coronavirus pandemic in Seattle and subsequently tested positive for coronavirus. One of the things, like I said earlier, I've been trying to do over the past couple of weeks is talk to people who are smarter than I am and who know more about this than I do. Kaylee Hartung is both of those things. Please make her the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Kaylee, it's your old pal Gary. How you doing?
Gary, hi. This is usually the time of year we get to hang out, you know? March Madness, Final Four, and instead... here we are.
Instead, here we are. I know that after you announced last week on Good Morning America that you had tested positive for coronavirus, that you were isolating. Are you still in isolation?
So I have hit the 14-day mark from the onset of my symptoms, and I've learned what it's like to leave the confines of my apartment and take a walk around my block. But that's as far as I've gotten. CDC guidelines now say that if you're 7 days from the onset of symptoms and if you've been without a fever for more than 72 hours and your symptoms have been improving for more than 72 hours, you're released from isolation, but you're asked to continue quarantining and social distancing. So, you know, as far as I was concerned, there was nowhere to go and there was no real need for me to put myself or anyone else in a confined space, even like a grocery store. I've just continued to get things delivered and have done so much as to, yeah, take a walk around my block with a mask on. And if I come near anybody, you know, I'll pop into the street, walk on the other side of a car and get back on the sidewalk. But this is just, it's such strange territory to navigate. I never thought that the idea of walking down my street could feel so much like freedom, but here we are.
Do you live in Manhattan? Is that correct?
No, I'm actually in LA.
Oh, you're in LA now.
To
okay.
LA. Yeah, I moved to LA last month, and I haven't even wrapped my mind around what life would be like if I was still in New York through this experience. You know, no surprise, I've got a little bit more square footage in my isolation confines in LA than I would have had in New York. But to see what's happening there and the rapid growth they've experienced there for the spread of the virus is, you know, man, my heart goes out to everybody there.
I'm talking to Kaylee Hartung from ABC News, announced last week on Good Morning America that she had tested positive for coronavirus. I know you said on television last week that you have no idea who you had direct contact with that passed this virus on to you. But, you know, we can reasonably, I think, connect some dots. You were in Seattle covering for ABC News the initial outbreak there, which was just heartbreaking to watch. And you got to see that up close, which suggests to me that you probably had a better grasp than most Americans, of what was about to happen in our country. First, would you agree with that? Did you see what was coming perhaps before the rest of America, or at least lots of Americans, knew what was coming?
What I saw sooner than most people in this country, I think, was the real toll this virus could take and how quickly it could be deadly. I think I was on the front end of recognizing how serious this virus is. And then I saw it as my job to help the rest of America better understand. Because, you know, and sadly, until this virus comes where you live, I think people have had a hard time wrapping their minds around the seriousness of it. And, you know, all I wanted while I was in Seattle was to give the families there who had loved ones at that nursing home where the outbreak really began, I just wanted to help give them a voice, because those families needed answers. They needed to hold government officials accountable for doing the things that they said they would do to help these people. And it was, if anything, what I saw on the front end was how terribly unprepared this country was for an infectious disease to spread, because it couldn't be managed in a nursing home with 120 people. So how was this country going to manage it when it spread farther? And now, sadly, we're seeing that across the country.
So you see that in Seattle, and then at the same time, you're watching the rest of America, or at least large segments of the rest of America, continue to operate our daily schedules normally. You know, like on the day that the NBA finally shut down, I was on an airplane flying back from, I believe, Washington, D.C. that morning. And, you know, the airplane was mostly filled up with people. Even into last week, we saw spring breakers partying as if this wasn't a real thing at the beaches in Florida. How frustrating was it for you to see this up close, not only to be a confirmed case, but also see death, you know, up close in Seattle, and then see people in every state in this country, for the most part, still not taking this as seriously as they should?
It was heartbreaking. I mean, Gary, I stood outside this Life Care nursing home in Seattle, and every day we would watch ambulances pull up, and we would see one, two, three, four people be rolled out on stretchers and taken to the hospital, and then the next day the death toll would climb. And then I would meet someone who would tell me, my mother passed away 2 days ago. I mean, I was up close and personal with the people first affected in the worst ways, their lives changed forever by this virus. So yes, it was incredibly frustrating to hear people dismiss this. I had so many people coming at me on Twitter from the beginning, blaming me for contributing to the hysteria that the media was calling, or the hype that we were creating. And of course, citing the fact that the flu kills more people every year than this virus was at that time. All you can do is try to educate people. I mean, I think that's our job as journalists, is to, you know, shine a light on problems, give them a platform so that people can better understand them. And I think so much of this process has been about education. And I hope that anybody who watches ABC News feels like they've learned something from it. That's certainly our goal. But then I encountered the challenge of educating my family when I contracted the virus, because I had to be able to say to my family who's in Louisiana, while I'm on the other side of the country in Los Angeles with this virus, I had to say to them, whoa, guys, I need you to calm down. I don't want you to be worried. My health is not at risk here. I have mild symptoms. I am a mild case. I am going to be okay. But what you need to understand is the risk that I am is to anyone I come in contact with. You know, if I were to come in contact with a vulnerable person, a high-risk person, whether that be elderly, anyone with underlying conditions, anyone whose immune system is weakened, then I am putting that person in a terribly dangerous situation. There's been education on multiple levels, and now I think when we all look around and see economies in countries all over the world shut down to try to stop the spread of the virus, to try to keep people at home, I really hope we have, for the most part, moved past the concept of people not taking this seriously, or people dismissing this as some kind of hysteria created by the media. This is very real. I've seen it firsthand, and I I hope that people are paying attention to the right sources of information to understand how harmful this virus can be.
Talking to Kaylee Hartung from ABC News. She covered the initial outbreak of the coronavirus pandemic in Seattle, subsequently tested positive for the coronavirus. Did all of that or any of that play a role in you going on television last morning on a really, I mean, last week on a obviously important and prominent television show and telling your story? Because when I watched it, I came on this radio station and at least from my perspective, tried to tell people why I thought it was important. And that's because initially, you know, this was just mostly anonymous people. Like, it was always somebody's mother, somebody's father, but they weren't people we knew. And yet you're somebody who we know, who people see on television. I thought it was important for you to tell your story. In a similar way, it was important for Kevin Durant to tell his story. We needed names and faces on this to get some people to take this more seriously. Did that play a role in your decision to share your story with the nation?
Absolutely. And I felt really fortunate that I had a platform to share my story, because the message that I was trying to get across with my story was that we have to take these mild symptoms seriously. Going back to what I had to explain to my family, my medical condition is not putting me in danger, but I could put other people's lives in danger. So I really wanted my story to be that reality check for people who say, oh, you know what, I feel run down, you know, oh, I've got these, you know, this runny nose, or, oh, I've got these backaches. You know, we can all find ways to explain away what are mild symptoms. But because I was lucky enough to get a test, when so many people with mild symptoms aren't being tested, I wanted to be that reality check moment for people to say, oh my gosh, this is why I need to take this seriously. I could be spreading this. I could be spreading this virus that's killing people. And as soon as I was able to get tested, and let me tell you, it was not easy for me to get tested. It was an incredibly frustrating and defeating process. You know, on my day that was the most miserable from the physical symptoms, I was also dealing with the just baffling level of confusion and misdirection that led to me jumping through hoops to figure out how to get tested. And that highlights a problem in and of itself, because, you know, like you say, I was able to put a face to it because you know me, and it made it more real. But I'm just a person who was lucky enough to get tested to have the information to know that I have the virus. Who knows how many people you actually know, Gary, or I actually know, who have this virus. Sadly, the testing capability in this country isn't that, to where we can all put a name to these feelings that we're having. So all that being said, it was important to me to share that story, and it didn't take long for me to decide that it was something I wanted to do. I think for a minute I worried about the criticism that I was opening myself up to because I was one of those people with mild symptoms who was able to get tested. Now, as this virus spreads, as more and more people are infected, the guidance is very clear. Anyone with mild symptoms like mine shouldn't be going to a hospital to get tested. But where I was in the process of this whole story and pandemic evolving, you know, ABC News in particular wanted me tested for the safety of my crew and those around me, and considering where we had been. And I think it really helped us all better understand how transmissible this virus is, because again, I still can't pinpoint where I got it, what that source of infection was. To your point, yes, it's reasonable to assume that I contracted this in Seattle when I was just on the front lines and seeing this virus spread within this nursing home. But again, I didn't speak to anybody still to this day who has tested positive. I spoke with people who had loved ones inside that nursing home who had visited them in recent days. But I've been in contact with all of them. None of them turned out to be symptomatic. And so our guidance at that point, when we returned back home to Los Angeles, was, well, if you haven't had any known contact with anyone who's tested positive for the virus, and if you don't have any symptoms, then you're fine. But what we were quickly learning was that by the time you have symptoms, it's too late. You've already been spreading this virus. And so that led to me having to have some really tough conversations with some of my closest friends who I'd seen in the days since I'd gotten back to Los Angeles, and apologized profusely. And thankfully, they were all wonderfully understanding. They said, this isn't your fault. You know, you didn't know, and we don't blame you for it. And we, at this point, we're learning more, and we recognize we could have gotten it at the grocery store yesterday. But, you know, my friends who I'd seen then chose to self-quarantine. And again, thankfully, none of them have had symptoms. But yeah, it's so strange thinking back on how little we knew 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and recognizing there's still so much we don't know now.
I'm wrapping up here with Kaylee Hartung from ABC News. Last thing before I let you go, you mentioned you are from Louisiana, and that state is now dealing with incredible numbers, and there's some thought that it could become the next epicenter of this pandemic in the United States. How concerned are you? I know you live in L.A. now, but that state still means the world to you, and you've got family there. How concerned are you about Louisiana right now?
Absolutely. I just talked to my mom a couple minutes ago to make sure that they're all staying home as much as they can. But my gosh, the numbers just continue to rise in New Orleans in particular and across the state of Louisiana. I spoke to a pulmonologist 2 days ago down there who said, you know, New Orleans is no stranger to disaster, but this isn't like any hurricane. This is like standing on the shore and watching a tsunami head your way, knowing you can't do anything to stop it at this point. I think that the timing of Mardi Gras is what it is. You know, 4 weeks ago, the whole city of New Orleans and thousands of tourists were celebrating that. And of course, you know, you're in close quarters at those parades and as the party extends through the week. And I think that's no coincidence that we're seeing these dramatic numbers rise there. I mean, from Friday to Monday, the number of cases there tripled. And again, it's because the testing is becoming more available because we're able to identify the virus in people. But one thing the pulmonologist I spoke to pointed out to me was that the people who are coming to the hospital in need of help are in need of critical care. This is the kind of people are needing care that is going to take up valuable resources like ventilators, and those numbers are what are so staggering to them. Yes, across the country, we're saying 80% of cases are mild, but I think what's additionally concerning in Louisiana is that so many of the cases there are much more serious than a mild case like mine.
It is Kaylee Hartung from ABC News. Make sure you follow her on Twitter, at Kaylee Hartung. That's at Kaylee Hartung. Kaylee, first and foremost, I'm just glad to hear that you're doing okay, feeling better. And I really appreciate you being here. It means the world to me.
Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate you a ton. Glad to be with you.
I'll see you later. Bye-bye. It's Kaylee Hartung from ABC News, who, again, covered this pandemic up close in Seattle, the initial outbreak, and then subsequently tested positive for coronavirus. Like she said, her case was mild. But I feel like we've gone over this a million times by now, but the fear with somebody having a mild case of coronavirus isn't that they'll suffer in any real way. It's who could she have passed this on to, whose case might not have been, you know, nearly as mild. And that's why she had to isolate and still practice social distancing like most of the rest of the country. And you know, obviously wanted to talk to her for obvious reasons, but also, you know, she's from Louisiana. And New Orleans is a mess right now. And it does appear to be at least somewhat tied to Mardi Gras. Because if you've ever been to Mardi Gras, I mean, it's not just like you're around a lot of people. You're shoulder to shoulder with people nonstop. I mean, there's nowhere to go. It's chaos. And it's reasonable to assume you had countless number of people carrying this virus and then spreading this virus, and then they all go home and then it spreads more. It's a little bit like the soccer game we talked about in Italy, the soccer match we talked about in Italy that took place on February 19th, just 2 days before the first confirmed local transmission case in Italy. like people, 44,000 people went to a soccer match, didn't know that they were carrying the virus. But then they just passed it all to each other.
Yep.
And then that province turned into the worst province in Italy. You know, right now, still, our biggest problems are in New York City, but New Orleans is heading that direction. And it appears that this virus coming to this country, as Mardi Gras was going on, is a contributing factor, perhaps the biggest contributing factor. Really appreciate Kaylee Hartung from ABC News for being here.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.